Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I am your host, Frederick Van Johnson. A little something different in this episode of TWIP. I had the opportunity to head down to Corona, California last week, over this past weekend, and present a keynote presentation for the F64 Live conference down there. Had a blast, met a ton of awesome people, lots of TWIP Pro members were down there hanging out, shooting, and having a great time, and I got a chance to do a keynote. So instead of doing the traditional This Week in Photo episode, I thought instead I would share that keynote with you. If you're a podcast listener or listening to the MP3 audio file, this is the keynote in its entirety, as well as if you want to jump onto YouTube, you can see the photographers and I on stage performing a live episode of This Week in Photo. All right, without further ado, here you go, the F64 Live Conference keynote by yours truly, Frederick Van Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a nice round of applause for our keynote speaker today, Frederick Van Johnson.
Is everybody awake after lunch? A little more, come on, we're awake. All right, so I thought I'd do something a little bit different for this presentation because this is the unconference, right? Instead of doing, obviously there's no slides or anything like that, who wants to see slides? Instead of doing that sort of traditional stuff, I thought I would play to my strengths. I've learned over my time on the planet, it's best to play to your strengths. So I wanted to go over a couple of topics that are near and dear to my heart in terms of creativity and inspiration and that sort of thing, but only for a couple of minutes. And then I'm gonna bring up a couple of instructors, Carla and Pete over there. We're gonna seat them here and I'm gonna put them on the hot seat. And we're gonna talk about these topics from their perspectives. They both have unique perspectives in terms of how all this stuff goes. But the cool thing about this is, This Week in Photo. So Steve Brazel mentioned TWIP, This Week in Photo, my show, my network, my company, and what I'm going to do is I'm killing two birds with one stone. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, we record a live and stream a live episode of our podcast. Instead of doing that this week for episode 530 of a weekly show, do the math, instead of doing that this week, we're going to do the show live in front of you guys. So we're going to record it. It's going to be like you guys are our studio audience, and you're going to get a chance to see. I think this is only the second time in the history of 530 or 29 episodes that I've done a live performance of This Week in Photo. So you guys get to be there. You guys get to be our laugh track or or otherwise our audience track. So I wanted to start this off with this is kind of a topic that's been on my mind for the last couple of months, and that's how photographers introduce themselves. So who in here is a photographer? So what I say to you people that raised your hand is you are not photographers. And why do I say that? I don't say that to be controversial or to be inflammatory. I say it because when I hear the word photographer, and this is, let me preface that by saying, I've been calling myself a photographer my entire life. And people say, hey, what is it that you do? Depending on how much I want them to know about me, I'll say I'm a photographer or, you know, I'm a content creator or something like that. But to say that, it occurred to me to say that I'm a photographer these days is disingenuous. Because photographer, the word photographer means photo, light. Grapher means recorder, so recorder of light. That's what we all are. And if you just say I'm a photographer, that means you're just, all you do for a living is record photons, right? And that's, I think we all do much more than that, right? So instead of that, I challenge you all to move away from saying that I am a photographer, that's what I do, because that's the easiest path of least resistance to explaining what you do, and instead say I'm an artist. What do you do? Well, I record weddings, I do portraits or whatever, but you are an artist. You're not just a photographer. A gruffer person is somebody who records something like a cartographer making maps, or a stenographer in a courtroom. These are vocational services that have very little, in my opinion, you know, creativity. You work within a box. If you're a photographer, the sky is the limit. Or if you're an artist who shoots with a camera, the sky is the limit. And putting yourself in the photographer box, I think, is disingenuous. So How many photographers do we have in here? Awesome. How many artists do we have in here? There we go. We are all artists. So call yourself artists from now on. And depending on the person that you're talking to, you can elaborate beyond that. Well, you know, I create using whatever insert camera brand that you have. So that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. The second thing is comfort zone. So exiting your comfort zone and how that translates to growth as an artist. So we as humans tend to, you know, we take the path of least resistance. It's basic physics, right? If I'm going to do this if it's easier. I'm going to shoot digital because it's easier than processing and printing. I'm going to go this route because it's easier. I'm going to use my GPS because it's easier than remembering the route. We do things because they're easier. What I challenge you to do, along with calling yourselves artists, is to do something that you're not comfortable doing. Here's an example. So I stepped out of my comfort zone, which is portraiture, multimedia content creation, like cinemagraphs, all that kind of weird nerdy stuff. So if I step out of that and step into, okay, I'm going to see using the same gear that I already own, I'm going to do concert photography, which I've tried and failed. So, you know, and I wouldn't say I failed spectacularly, but I did not. I was looking at Steve's work and others like it as, you know, oh, come on, how hard can it be? There's people on the stage, there's lights on them, aim your camera, press the shutter button, and go. Not so simple. But by going through that exercise, it gave me the realization that I learned more about my camera, photography, and exposure just by trying a different genre than I would have years of doing the same kind of genre. So I challenge you to get out of your comfort zone. If you think you're a wedding photographer or artist, if you think you're a wedding shooter, you think you're a portrait person, you think you're whatever, jump out of that. Go do some scuba diving, do some underwater photography, do whatever. You know, do something that's different than what your normal comfort zone is and see how that feels. And see how it affects the other work that you do. It may open up pathways in your mind that you didn't know that you had before. So that's the second thing. The third thing is multimedia and content creation and telling stories. And what do I mean by that? So we're in 2018 as we sit here today, right? And the delivery mechanism that we have for most of our work is screens, right? When we're seeing more and more prints and printing come up, but for the most part, we have the ability to tell stories on screens, whether it's Instagram, whether it's the web, whether it's Facebook, whatever, you know, YouTube, whatever. We have a variety of mechanisms that we can use to tell stories, to get the idea across that's in our mind's eye. What I challenge you to do is this third and last thing is to tell stories and work from the end. What do I mean by that? Begin with the end in mind. Look at the story that you're trying to tell in a particular piece of work. And say this is a self project or something, but you know, like I want to capture the excitement of F64 Live, right? Is it better to capture this in a single photo? Can you capture it in a single photo? Is it better to use video to capture it? Is it better to use text? How about audio? How about animation? The point is, we're no longer restricted to a two-dimensional flat print as our only option for output in storytelling. We can use all these other delivery mechanisms to tell the stories that we want to tell. You're artists, you're storytellers. You don't have to put yourself in a box of saying, I am a photographer, that is what I do. You are an artist that tells stories, and you use the mechanisms and the vehicles that are best to tell that story. You reach into your toolbox. You don't reach into your toolbox and say, oh, I have these tools. What can I make with these tools? You have a particular project in mind, and then you look in your toolbox and see, okay, I got to put a picture on the wall. I need this hammer. And you pull that out. Same with this artistic stuff we're talking about. So those are the three things that we are going to talk about with my nervous guests over here as we do the show. And yeah, I think you'll get a kick out of the show because my plan is to record this exactly as we do a regular This Week in Photo episode. So you'll see all the mistakes, you'll see the pauses, you'll see all that stuff. The last thing I want to mention is I want to thank Panasonic for bringing me here. Panasonic, they sponsored me to come down and talk to you guys, and they've been amazingly generous to send me all over the place. I'm not sponsored by Panasonic, but they know that I use their gear, and they just kind of say, hey, do you want to go here and talk about this thing because you use our gear and you've been a kind of de facto evangelist? And I have been an evangelist for Panasonic gear mainly because it is the perfect tool in my toolbox for the type of things that I do, which is multimedia for the most part. You know, the taking photographs and creating video and content for the web and podcasting and all that. Their gear is perfect for that. And I wanted to mention, they told me this earlier today, I didn't believe it, and then I saw it on the print, like Steve mentioned, this camera that I'm shooting this on, that you'll see on the web later, is a Lumix G9, my favorite camera of all time. I did a review of this camera, and I said that, and I've never said this before on any video that I recorded, and I reviewed lots of cameras, I said that that camera, and I've shot Nikon, and I shot Canon, I shot Olympus, I said that that camera is probably the best camera that I've ever owned. Now, granted, I haven't shot every camera on the planet, but that camera is the best one for me that I've ever owned. So if you haven't touched it, I would definitely head back to Image One and play with it. All right, so now we're going to transition into the panel part of the discussion. You guys sweating enough yet over there? All right, come on up. Carla and Pete, come on. Are you an artist? All right. You're allowed on the stage then. Are you an artist?
I am.
All right. Have a seat right here. Grab your mic and turn it on, please, if you would. There's a little switch on the side of it. If it's not already on, tap it. Make sure you're on.
Hello.
There you go.
All right. All right. There's water for you.
You're all set. So we're just going to have a conversation, and we're going to talk about those three topics. So you got to, normally my guests don't get a preview of the things that I'm going to talk about. So you guys got a preview. You got a chance to get your answers ready and go through this. So let's do this. So I'm going to start the show. Normally when I start This Week in Photo, I do a little tease where I say, in this episode, it's all about blah, 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 blah. We play a little animation, and then we're into the interview, right? So we're going to do that because I need to record this so that I can edit it later. This is me in my hotel room. This is me looking out. This is past me looking out for future me in my hotel room as I edit this on my 13-inch MacBook Pro. All right, here we go. You guys ready? Let's see. How should I do this tease? Artist versus photographer?
That works.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Hey, folks, in this episode, it's all about being an artist versus a photographer.
This is TWIP.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I am your host, Frederick Van Johnson. This is a little something different today on the show. We're not online and we're not on Skype doing a podcast. I have two people here with me that we're going to dive into three topics. We're here at F64 Live down in Corona, California, in the Riverside area. And we're going to be talking about a couple of topics that are near and dear to my heart in terms of creativity, inspiration, and all that stuff. First, on the far right here, Carla, you want to introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm Carla Bender, and I am an artist. actually, I'm a wife, a mother, a lover of abandoned buildings, crazy, strange places, and the night sky.
Very cool. The night sky, huh?
Yes, yes.
I love the night sky, too. So astrophotography, that sort of thing?
Astrophotography. My background is in journalism. I was a newspaper photographer for 30 years.
Nice, nice. Okay, we'll have to talk about that later.
Yes, we do.
Because we're related, I think.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
I think so. And Pete, what about you? Give us your dossier.
I have to follow that.
Yes.
My name is Pete Rizak, and I am a fine art artist.
Nice.
Black and white portrait artist. I'm also a small business owner, too. So I am a portrait artist. Mm-hmm. I choose to still work with silver in creating my work with view camera.
Nice.
For a good portion of that. I have a family, a couple of kids who like to spend all my money. actually mom's money. But I'm thrilled to be here, and I'd love to teach, so I'm really, really, really happy to be part of this.
Awesome. Well, welcome. Welcome to the stage. All right, this is going to be a good conversation, because I really want to dive into this stuff a little bit, especially from the standpoint of the artist versus photographer thing, because all three of us have been calling ourselves photographers our entire lives, right? It's the easiest. It's a path of least resistance. What do you do? You're at a cocktail party. What do you do? Oh, I'm a photographer. And then if you care about that person, you'll go deeper, right? So, Carly, let's start with you. So, do you believe that, right? So, saying you're a photographer, yeah, it could be controversial to say, no, I'm not really a photographer, I'm an artist. Do you intrinsically believe that you are an artist, or are you a photographer? Is your job to capture photons and share them with the world?
You know, yes, I guess I do think I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. We do just say a photographer, because I don't think when you meet a painter, they just say they're a painter. I don't think they say I'm a watercolor artist or an oil painter. That might come out later. Yeah. So I think that's where we are with the photography thing. Mm-hmm. In terms of the artists, we had talked earlier, all artists have a medium, and as photographers, we're artists, and what's our medium? Mm-hmm. And when you ask that question, people normally say, well, Canon or camera, I shoot with a camera.
Right.
Light. Light is our medium. Without light, we don't get to take pictures.
Right.
So,
yes. Yeah, and I love that answer. I love that answer. When I first started in photography, it was in the military, and we were talking about over lunch, at the time when I went into the Air Force, I'm not sure, this was a long, long time ago. I think it was in the Jurassic period or something. But they were really, really, really tough on making sure their photographers understood light before you even got to touch a camera. Mm-hmm. And I was talking, you know, like literally, I was telling the guys at lunch, from the standpoint of understanding what a photon is and how one is formed in the sun, and how it bounces around in the sun for a long time until it escapes the sun, and then how long it takes to get from there to here. The whole nine yards. And I think as a result, when you're going through that, you're like, really, another page of this stuff? I have to understand this. But there was a certain point where it clicked for me, and I found myself walking around. I was going through my training. I was in Colorado Springs for part of it, and in Tokyo for part of it. And I remember walking around Tokyo like a nerd, just looking at shadows and trying to, you look at that reflection, that's specular, and it's making that shadow, and like, that's diffused, and look at the light on her face, it's amazing. And it, you know, so I was that kid, you know, just going through that. And I think that having that foundation helped me to understand what's going on. So even with today's fancy schmancy digital cameras, light has not changed since light was created, right? Mm-hmm. It's been exactly the same. And the tools that we have to capture it have been all over the place, but that light and that photon have not changed. So Pete, what about you, man? So artist, when you think, the same question I gave to Carla, when you think of yourself as an artist, what does that actually mean to you?
Well, I originally have a degree in mechanical engineering.
Oh, the other side of your brain.
Well, I should have never been an engineer, but I had an amazing college experience. But, you know, for artists, I struggled with that for a long, long time. Because for me, an artist were a beret, and I'm an artiste, you know. And my family still teases me about that a lot. But, you know, you sit back and you look, and it's like, yeah, we are creating something. We see something in our mind. And I think you asked me earlier today about, well, what's going on in your mind? I'm like, nobody wants to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we see that, right? And then how we translate that into a way for other people to enjoy. Even the example we had even with our class today. I mean, we put our model here in the seats. And I thought, hey, man, it'd be kind of cool to capture this as an old movie. Sure. Theater, right? And then using a light just to be the projection. And so, but I didn't have any preconceived notion of that. It just came to me, and then that's what we did. So mm-hmm. I guess that's being an artist, just kind of having that, and then having that just flow through. So
yeah. And part of being an artist is having that spark of creativity, right? And then having the technical acumen to execute on that. Carolyn, how do you do that? Like if you have, and we talked about this a little bit outside, how do you, if you have that spark of creativity, and it happens to all of us, or you're like, oh, you see a movie and you see a scene, you're like, oh, I want to try that. I want to do, you know, once you get that and it's like burrowing into the base of your neck there, how do you go from this idea into finished work that you feel like is ready to be shared with other humans?
Wow. That's,
glad you got that.
Yeah, I know, right? Thank you.
Oh,
thank
you,
you
wait
very
for
much.
Yours.
That's tough because aside from my landscapes and the astro stuff, I shoot events. And so I have taught myself to see things.
Yeah.
Like I'm amazed at photography artists that set up these still lifes, maybe do product shots, whatever, because I don't have that vision. But when I see it happening in front of me. And in teaching, because I teach, that's the hardest thing to teach is that vision. How do you
get a vision though? Like how do you know when you have a vision? Like we talk about this on TWIP a lot, the whole idea of developing a personal style. The answers have been all over the place in terms of, okay, well, you follow your favorite photographers. Like say someone's a Nikon shooter and they want to be like Joe McNally. So I'm going to buy every SB strobe that Joe McNally owns and I'm going to read all his articles and I'm going to be like Joe McNally and I'm going to try to replicate his shots. So your shots look like Joe's for a while. And then does yours kind of emerge out of that or do you go a different direction? How do you get to your own look?
See, that's a style. Yeah. Okay, so Joe McNally, that's a style. He would come in and set up 300 lights or whatever, and, you know.
350. Yeah.
Right. And so that can be copied, can be taught, but the vision isn't. It's personal. It's a passion. You know, I know there were photographers out there that they couldn't stop shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, I go to things with my family, and they're like, oh, seriously? You're taking, you know. They just keep moving. They just keep moving along when we're on vacation. I'm like, I'll catch up. Luckily, I walk fast, but it's a passion.
Yeah.
It's a passion.
Yeah.
And you shoot what you love. Greg, what's his name? I never know how to pronounce his last name. Heisler. Yeah. He has a great video, and he talks about this very thing. And he says, you know, shoot what you love. Mm-hmm. Because if you shoot what you love, it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
One,
yeah.
You're going to spend your time doing what you love, and then people are going to hire you and pay you to shoot what you love.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Same with translate that over to podcasting, and there's a lot of personalities that are podcasters more now than ever, right? And it's still on an upward and to the right sort of growth rate. And a lot of people ask me, because I've been doing it for a while, they ask me, well, how do you sustain being a podcaster? Because we've been doing it. We're in our ninth year now doing this Week in Photo.
What'd you say, 300 and?
529 shows right. Weekly. And that there's even more than that because there's lots of one-on-one interviews and all that.
Yeah. Coming up with all those ideas.
Yeah, yeah. But
okay, let's throw it back on you.
Yeah.
How do you come up with those ideas?
Great question. So two-part answer. One part of that is it's not sustainable to not be yourself in a podcast or in any kind of artistic endeavor. If you try to be an imposter, you can do it for a short time and then you get exhausted mentally, physically, you give up, I don't want to do that anymore. I know some podcasters online that are, they perform their podcast, right? So they'll go in, and I've had some of them on the show where they will go into a character role and pretend to be someone else while they're being recorded, and as soon as I say, okay, we're no longer recording, then they go back into normal, hey, I'm a dork again, you know?
Wow.
you know, it's
exhausting.
Yeah, that's exhausting and unsustainable. You can't do that. So I have this Frederick that you guys are seeing now, as you saw outside, or here, if we hang out later, it's the exact same person. It's easy to be yourself, mm-hmm. right? And it's sustainable. And you attract, and the people that you attract to you that want to hear and see your work that you've done as yourself are genuine because they like you for you, not for some facade that you built. Mm-hmm. So that's the first half of it. How do I come up with ideas? I pull them from everywhere. And most of the ideas for This Week in Photo come from my personal experiences and issues that I'm dealing with in life or whatever. For example, this last show that we did, episode 529, was about, I think I titled it, The Death of Quality. My friend Chris Berry was on with us. And it was, the impetus was, I just had a house built and the quality is ridiculously low, right? And I'm just like not happy with it. Then you see all these things with like Apple and the issues they're having with their MacBooks, and some cameras are doing the wrong things that they're not supposed to be doing. And I posited the whole idea of, are we unwitting beta testers? Because it seems like people were putting out products, and this is my own thinking, even before I did the show, I'm thinking, it seems like all these people are putting out products, hoping I don't see the problems, and then when I go into squeaky wheel mode and see the problem, then they finally fix it or issue a patch or something like that. So why am I paying to be a beta tester? You know, that, so that was the impetus of that show. And, you know, I brought on panelists and we sort of hashed it out. And people had different opinions on it. Like, for example, one of the panelists, Eric Kuna, who's a rocket photographer, I think it was Eric Kuna there. Yeah, but he was saying something around the idea of, well, that's just the way we are able to innovate quickly these days. Because if we didn't and we went back into the old days of when things were really well made, we wouldn't be iterating as quickly and getting new products. And I argue that I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So I want to switch gears a little bit, Pete. So I want to talk about the idea of switching or stepping out of your comfort zone and doing something different, right? And I talked about that a little bit in the intro there. Like, how do you do that? Is it easier said than done, or is it possible?
Well, yes and yes. So in my case, I went back, and I'm one of these guys that still uses film in a digital world, right? And I never really ever quit using it, and I actually had people ridicule me publicly for doing it, calling me all kinds of names, like, what do you think? I mean, there's this, and this. And I'm like, to use an artist's analogy here, it's the paintbrush I choose to use, so why do you even care, right? It's my images that I'm doing. And lo and behold, here now all of a sudden it's kind of coming back around with some interest. So, you know, that's interesting for me. So, yeah, it was tough. I mean, it was tough, you know, for people to say stuff to you about that and going, well, does that make me any, you know, less, you know, of somebody because of the tools that I'm trying to use. So that, you know, it was difficult, but at the same time, with the passion that you're saying, right, I just stayed the course on that because I don't really care what it is. And that's, I think it sets up for the images that I make and what I love to do, right? That's how I love to work. I love the experience that it does with that. So, and then to just build upon quality there, mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm. is I find that the craftsmanship for me, you know, the quality I put into it. Yeah, I mean, I may only take 6 pictures in a session, mm-hmm, because that's all I can do. But I guarantee you I've spent a lot of time engaged in trying to make those the best that I can. So, yeah. So it's a little different on that respect. But, I guess I can't even remember what the other part of that was.
No, that's fine. So, you sparked a good tangent that I wanted to follow, and that's quality again, right? And as it applies, and I'm gonna ask both of you guys this, as it applies to photography, and you know, no disrespect to social media, but those are hollow calories. Mm-hmm. Right, especially from the standpoint of artisans like both of you, professional artisans, right? Mm-hmm. So social media is a necessary evil. You know, it's fun. It allows you to connect with friends and family, et cetera, et cetera. But we're also seeing, we've seen the democratization of photography, good photography, on Instagram and services like that. So, Color, what do you think about that? Like, in your world, in your professional world, especially coming from a photojournalistic newspaper background, you've seen the trajectory of social media and its impact on traditional media. How do you feel about that? And how should we, as artists, embrace it or reject it?
Reject it, yeah. Well, coming from film, I started back in the dark ages when we didn't have even any automatic cameras. Everything was manual, and it was film. And for newspapers, we're film. And a lot of people now again, like in the condemning of digital, they'll say, well, that's not real photography. And it's different photography. And it's no less photography, but my problem, and this has been exacerbated by social media, my problem is, and where I draw the line between photography and then labeling it digital photography, is when a photographer does a composite and then tries to pass it off as being a photograph. Well, no, that's digital art. That's not a photograph. Yes, you made it with photographs.
Yeah, it's art. Yeah.
Right. And so, like, and I don't know, this is one of my pet peeves, being an astrophotographer. I'm constantly looking for that perfect spot where I can get that shot I want. And then you'll see photographers that they will take a picture of the Milky Way, and then they'll take a picture of the Joshua Tree or the road, and then they'll blow up the picture of the Milky Way, enlarge it, so you've got this giant Milky Way that's completely out of proportion,
yeah.
And we won't even go into the over-processing of it,
right.
To that road. And that's my pet peeve. And they won't say that that's a composite. So that's
the rub right there.
Huge rub.
There's nothing at all wrong with doing composite photography, but you have to
own it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're in the age of digital and the age of filters and Snapchat and making yourself look different. And all that, right?
But you know, too, then that's what our clients want sometimes. You know, when you do portrait work, they're like, well, can you make me like look like this filter? You know, we were talking about this guy with the
really?
Smoke. You know, it's instant Instagram filter.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's, I guess that's where my problem with quality is.
Pete, what about you in the social media space? Is it a help or is it a hindrance?
Well, I think it's a necessary evil in a way, right? I mean, you have to have a presence and you want people to see what you do. But at the same time, you know, I think I alluded to this earlier, right? In a print versus, you know, leaving something out there. You know, when someone takes your image and decides that it doesn't meet their vision, that they've got to go apply something to it, one, that's wrong to do that.
Right.
But you sit there and go, you know, it's my vision is what that is, right? So leave that, you know, as that is, whether, you know, you like it or not. Generally, I'll tell people, like I do a lot of children's character portraits in black and white, and they're not smiley. And so when we set up to do them, you know, a lot of times I'll have parents that have to leave because they're like, oh, you had a smile? Like, no, the work that you're drawn to is without the smile.
Right, right.
And to do that. Now, that's a little separate than social media, but, you know, for instance, I had an image that I had done here several years ago of a fitness model, and man, that thing went all over the place, and they were, you know, changing distortion, trying to make her look bigger and all kinds of stuff, and you just go, look, that just isn't how that should have been.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, there's two different things though, right? So there's, like Carly, you're talking about, there's the being disingenuous and retouching and compositing and then passing that off as skill, you know?
Right.
But then there's the other side of the social media coin, I think, is distribution, right? Versus print. So I think we're in an and world. We're not in an or world. So it's social media. It's necessary. I wouldn't even say it's a necessary evil. I think it's a necessary sort of way. It's just the way things are.
Yeah.
We're not going to roll back.
Maybe evil was a little harsh on it. But it is. I mean, it's here.
It's right? here.
And it's not going to go away.
And we used to have these discussions about print versus digital a while back. I think it was back in the early days of digital. And we were talking, me and other photographers are talking about the idea of, well, prints are beautiful, right? And like we were saying before, someone was saying before, that prints in a lot of ways represent the end of a beautiful sentence that started with an idea. You wrote it, you had punctuation, and then that ending punctuation is a beautiful print. Now you're on to the next idea, which is great, right? And prints have mass, they're beautiful, but at the same time, you will never get the same distribution from a print than you would from a digital. I could take a photo of this crowd right now on my phone, retouch it in Snapseed, post it, and a lot of people will see it before we even get off the stage versus, the print mechanism.
But we're talking and speaking to other artists here. There's nothing like holding a print. I mean, back when people did it in with film and in the darkroom, I mean, that was it. Mm-hmm. When you sat there and you rocked that tray and you watched, from a blank piece of paper and you watched it come up, you know?
That was romantic for the first 500 times I did it. But
well, you know what? I do my own printing and it still gives me chills now.
Really?
Even digital. I love it. I love to wait and see
but
that.
But you're
come
printing
out.
Your own work, right?
Yes, I am.
I was printing everybody else's.
That's
work.
No fun.
Well, there's the rub right there. Like, what is this? Really?
But in an aspect, though, too, is as a portrait artist, right, is providing that legacy for future generations. Now, yes, we get this crowd and it's targeted out to that. But if you look in my realm where I work with families or whatever, that one day that they can prove that they existed. And there's a very real reality that may not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, with the where's our apocalyptic people here, right? post-apocalyptic, you don't need electricity to look at it.
That's true. So. That is a really good point because prints, you know, all things being equal, will withstand any coming apocalypses, right? So they'll be here. You can dust them off after they, you know, go through the rubble and, hey, look at that print, right? But digital media, pretty much gone if it burns up or if it, you know,
you gotta have juice,
anything.
Right? You got to have juice.
And you got to have juice for it.
That pulse, right? What is that? That pulse that's going to ruin all the electronics.
So you're trying to get me to use that engineering education.
The EMP.
EMP.
Electromagnetic pulse. Yeah, that'll wipe everything, including all of our coming smart cars. So, so when the EMP hits, try not to be in a smart car that's driving itself.
Right? Go back to the Flintstone age, right?
Yeah. So let's switch gears. I'm going to wrap this up. I want to the last gear that I want to switch into is on This Week in Photo, the podcast, we do this segment called Picks of the Week. And that's a segment where you guys get to recommend anything to the audience as long as it's somehow related to photography. It could be a workshop, could be a plug-in, could be a tool, could be a technique, a mindset, anything. So
Pete go first.
All right. You're on a hot seat. It could be anything.
Well,
hold your breath when you're pressing the shutter and doing a long exposure with no tripod.
Say the photographer's prayer. Don't screw up. No. Yeah. I tell you what, I really like here. I'm a gadget guy. We talked about some things, you know, and we all are. But this panel clip that goes on the iPhone to take 360 pictures and little tiny planets. I absolutely have just I've had this thing for
it's called panel clip.
The panel clip. Mm-hmm. I saw a Facebook ad, social media there, on it, and I told my kids that's what I wanted for Father's Day. So I got it, and we took a trip back to the Midwest this year, and I was doing tiny planets everywhere. But it's cool. It's a lot of fun. It just gives it a little different perspective, to do that. But it's a fun thing. We like to have fun on our iPhones and all that. So check out the panel clip.
Panel clip, perfect. See, that's a perfect pick
go.
Of the week.
Yeah, there you go.
I never heard of that.
Well, but check it out. Yeah. I have one with me. I'll show
I will
you
put it in the blog post for this episode. you have one that I can have? Can I have that one?
Well, you can't have it. Well, for $50, you can, right? Actually, I'm a business
it
person.
It costs you $40.
For $60, you have because it costs me $50,
there
right?
You go. All right, Carla, what about you? You're on the hot seat. What's your pick
I'm
of the week?
On the hot seat. Well, I think mine's going to be more, since I'm a teacher, it's going to be more of a technical thing. Shoot every single day.
Nice.
Yeah. Twyla Tharp has a book that's called, I think it's called The Creative Habit, and she talks about spending at least 5 minutes every single day doing something that's going to further your business or your creative outlet, your end product. And I think for photographers, for photography artists, I'm going to start saying photography artists.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's perfect.
Is shoot every day, whether it's with your phone, with your real camera, just take pictures because it's a language and you have to practice it.
It is, every day. It is, yeah, and get mileage on that finger.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no better way that I've found to get better at something than repetition, right? Repetition. You can book learn, read articles, look at photos, get inspired all day long, even come to workshops like F64 Live, but until you start shooting and make mistakes, figure out what you did wrong, fix it, do it again, and feel the joy of and the endorphin rush of having done something right and getting positive feedback, and then rinse and repeat, you'll never learn it, right?
10,000 hours, right?
10,000 hours. Yep, 10,000 hours. You have to repeat something for 10,000 hours in order for it to become sort of ingrained in your head. All right, we're at the end of another episode of This Week in Photo.
Oh, thank you.
How was that?
Well, thanks for having us on.
No, it wasn't. But talk about getting out of your comfort zone. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Stretch. No. Stretch.
Thank
See,
you.
Now you guys are going to have your own podcast in a year or so. Right?
No. Not going to happen.
Never say never.
I love it. All right, folks. That's it. That's it for this episode of This Week in Photo. Again, I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. If you want to learn more about TWIP and the things that we're doing, just head over to thisweekinphoto.com. If you want to subscribe, go to thisweekinphoto.com/subscribe, and you'll see all of our shows, including this one. And lastly, we recently, about, I don't know, 6 months or so ago, launched our TWIP community. It's a private community that you can join. It's at twippro.com. I encourage you to dive in there, join it, hang out with us. There's a lot of smart people in there that are having intelligent conversations about photography versus sort of, you know, oh, nice shot. Hey, what are you doing? You know, it's really adult. I call them adult conversations about photography, where it's a community of photographers that are talking to and helping each other. So I encourage you to check that out. That's it for this episode of This Week in Photo. It is time to take that lens cap off. That's it for this episode of This Week in Photo. If you happen to have missed this last F64 Live, all is not lost. You can just head over to f64live.com and sign up for the next event, which, by the way, is coming up this February.
This is TWIP.